God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ. Hear the word of God from Matthew 16. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Dear friends in Christ, so who is Jesus? That's the question that everyone has to deal with. And if you don't deal with it, that question will end up dealing with you. So who is Jesus? It's a question that everyone has to answer, and salvation itself hangs in the balance. Jesus asked his disciples two questions: who do the people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Now, one thing I think is interesting is that Jesus popped this question in Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a place where Baal had been worshipped hundreds of years earlier by the locals. And then the Greek god Pan or Pan was worshipped here. Then Herod the Great built a marble temple to Caesar in this place. And all the people were to confess, "Caesar is Lord," on pain of death. It's this same place where Jesus now says to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" That's the question that everyone has to deal with, or it'll end up dealing with you. The answers were varied and predictable. Some say John the Baptizer, returned from the dead. Some say Elijah, who was supposed to appear before the Messiah. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. In other words, the people in Jesus' day were doing just like most people today when they want to keep Jesus at a comfortable distance. Many people today say nice things about Jesus without going all the way and saying, "He's the only Savior we've got. He's the only way back from the dead. He's the only way out of the grave and hell. And only his blood forgives us." A lot of people don't like to go that far, because then they have to admit they're sinners, and then they have to confess that only Jesus can save them. So a lot of people today will say nice things about Jesus. "Well, I think he was a great teacher," or "I think he was a great moral example," or "I think Jesus is a buddy." All of it's nice, of course, and to a degree true, but it's not even close to who Jesus said he was. For example, he said in John 3, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him." Now do you see how you're not going to get off by just saying something nice about Jesus? It's all or nothing, folks. And if you don't deal with who Jesus is, he'll end up dealing with you. Now, Jesus made some outrageous claims. He said, "I'm God." He said, "I'm the Son of God." He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live even if they die." C.S. Lewis once wrote that about all the things Jesus claimed, and he concluded by saying, "Either Jesus is a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's your Lord and Savior. And there is no neutral ground. Gee, I just don't know. Either Jesus is Lord and Savior, or he isn't. The resurrection of Jesus says that he is, so you're going to have to deal with the resurrection of Jesus, or the resurrection will end up dealing with you. So Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Never mind the polls. Just you tell me. Simon Peter says, as he always does, he's like the pesky kid in class who has all the answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter is exactly right, at least on paper. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all God's promises. He is the Savior come to save you. You couldn't get a more correct answer than Peter's. So Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, for you didn't think this up on your own. This was given to you by my Father in heaven. No merit badges here. Luther says the greatest miracle God ever gave us was when he brought us to faith in Jesus. To be able to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior is a gift. You didn't cook up a batch of faith. Faith is given to you. First of all, the Catechism says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, and that's based on the Bible in many verses. Let me share one, 1 Corinthians 12. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Notice, as long as Simon is confessing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, Simon is rock solid. In fact, Jesus even changes Simon's name and says, I tell you that you are Peter. The name Peter means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But now we have to deal with another critical point. When Jesus says, I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What or who is the rock that Jesus is going to build his church upon? The Catholics say that the rock that Jesus is going to build his church on is Peter and all the popes that followed Peter. The Lutherans say that the rock that God Jesus is going to build his church upon is himself, the Jesus that Peter confessed. We Lutherans believe that the rock is Peter's confession of Christ, not Peter himself. Now, let me make my case why we say that. First of all, there's nothing solid about Peter, except when he's confessing Christ. Other than that, Peter gets everything wrong. Sometimes Peter is rock solid when Jesus says, who do you say I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right there, he's rock solid. But as soon as Jesus tells Peter that he's going to the cross to bleed and die to forgive our sins, we're told that Peter actually took Jesus aside and began to scold him. So Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. So much for papal infallibility. Peter is not the rock the church is built upon. The crucified and risen Savior is. In Matthew 14, the disciples are caught in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. At first, Peter boldly takes Jesus at his word, gets out of the boat, and walks on the water. That's rock-solid faith. But then Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at the storm and the waves and begins to sink like a rock and cries out, Lord, save me! And we're told immediately Jesus reached down and caught him. So who's the rock the church is built upon? Peter, who is sinking, or Jesus, who walks on water and holds Peter safe in the storm? Are you sure you want to build your church and your lives on Peter? In Matthew 26, Jesus predicts that one of the apostles will betray him to death. And for a moment, Peter is rock solid and says, even if everyone else denies you, Lord, I will never deny you. And yet that very night, before the cock crowed twice, Peter denied Jesus three times to save his skin. While at the same time, Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God victoriously. Are you sure you want the church built on Peter rather than the Savior Jesus? In Acts 4, Peter is arrested for boldly proclaiming Christ crucified and risen as the only Savior. And again, he's rock solid. This was like hitting a grand slam when Peter said, there is no other name under the heavens by which we must be saved, except that of Jesus. And yet it wasn't long after that Peter started to teach that one's salvation partly rests on our own works. And when Peter did that, Paul took Peter aside in Galatians 2 and gave Peter a chewing out for teaching false doctrine. Are you sure Peter is the rock you want to build your church on? Jesus is the only one who is always rock solid, and we're told he was always faithful, even unto death, even death on a cross. There's your rock, not Peter. In fact, there's another way that we can show that the rock that the Lord is going to build his church on is Jesus, and the confession of Jesus as Savior, and not Peter. Because whenever the Bible uses the word or phrase rock for a person outside of Matthew 16, it's almost always referring to Jesus or the Lord. And the few exceptions are when it's referring to false idols as little rocks that crumble. Otherwise, it's always the Lord. Deuteronomy 32, the Lord is the rock. 2 Samuel 22, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, in whom I take refuge. 2 Samuel 22 again, who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? Psalm 66, my soul finds rest in God alone, my salvation comes from him alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation. I will never be shaken. And we could go on and on. The scriptures referred to the Lord as our rock in almost 50 different places. As long as Peter confesses Jesus correctly, then Jesus says Peter is a rock because his faith is rock solid. But as soon as Peter gets Jesus wrong and tries to keep Jesus from going to the cross, then Jesus says to Peter in no uncertain terms, get behind me, Satan. Notice, once Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus as the Savior who dies to forgive us, then the gates of hell conquer him. Get behind me, Satan. When you let go of crucified and risen Jesus as our only Savior, then you're not rock solid anymore. Those who would flatter Jesus by saying nice things about him, but who refuse that we are only saved by him and his forgiving death on the cross, are on sinking sand. And if you try to deny Christ crucified and risen as your only Savior, Jesus will say the same to you. Get behind me, Satan. There's nothing in all of life more rock solid than Jesus. When the church is built upon our rock solid Savior, whose blood has totally satisfied God's anger against us, who has swallowed up death forever, who took our place in hell and paid it all, and who checked back out of his grave alive and unlocked heaven's door for us, then we could be confident that not even the gates of hell will prevail against us. Talk about a rock-solid Savior. He was tempted in every way we are, but never sinned. Where we got life wrong, Jesus got life right, so he could give us his righteousness. Romans 3, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus to all who believe. There's a rock-solid foundation. Talk about a rock-solid Savior. When Jesus went to hell and back to save you and me, he went through hell and high water to redeem us. And when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, he was suffering and pain for all of your hell so that you will never have to say those words yourself, because God won't forsake you. Talk about a rock-solid Savior. Even though Jesus went all the way down to hell for us, he made it back out alive. And he gave proof of it when he rose again from the dead on Easter morn. And because the gates of hell were not able to conquer Christ, Jesus promises that those who are baptized into him, death cannot conquer them. He says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Talk about a rock-solid Savior. We have a Savior that not even tombstones and graves can hold. Psalm 18, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Jesus manhandled death and walked right out of his grave, his stone-cold grave on Easter morn. The angels didn't roll away the stone to let Christ out. He was already gone. The angels rolled away the stone on Easter morning to let you and me in. On the greatest news the world has ever received, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And finally, not only is Christ crucified and Christ risen the rock of our salvation, but as you hold on to Jesus, your life in Christ is rock solid. 1 Peter 2 says, as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. On that rock, crucified and risen Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, God said.